You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Good morning. You are tuned in now to Femme Concept on CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the University of British Columbia. My name is Eleanor, and today's show is about moms. Moms, mothers, moms, moms. It was Mother's Day on Sunday. That's why I'm doing this. I'm going to talk more about it in a minute, but first, Mother Stands for Comfort by Kate Bush. Mother Stands for Comfort by Kate Bush. You are tuned in now to Femme Concept on CITR 101.9 FM. And my name is Eleanor. And on this show, I play 100% FemCon, all the time. And if you've never tuned in before, or maybe if you have, you might be wondering, what is FemCon? I don't know what that word means. It is not a word that I've heard before. But don't worry, because I'm about to tell you. FemCon is music that women have made. So FemCon, in order for a piece of music to be considered FemCon, it has to fulfill two of four categories. And that is the composition, so the music has to be composed, the lyrics written, the song produced or performed. So if there are women in two of those four categories, then the track is considered femcon. And that is what I focus on here in the show, because I think that it's important to give more attention and accolades to women that have been making music just as long as all other people in the world, just as long as men, but maybe perhaps haven't been given the same amount of attention or appreciation for that. So because of that, and because it was Mother's Day on Sunday, I decided to make today's show focus on moms. I just want everyone to just take a moment and think about how literally none of us would be here if our mothers did not exist, like, at all. Just, it's just not possible. Wouldn't happen. I'm not going to go into the, like, reproductive conversation, reproduction conversation, or, like, childbirth conversation. I'm not really interested in doing that here, but just, like, just take a pause and think about just literally how, like, humanity basically would not exist without mothers. It's important to do every now and again. Yeah, and I don't know. I think about that a lot. I think about how historically there's a lot of things in the public sphere, things like war, which is awful, of course, and things like, you know, like being able to vote or participate in politics, and how all of those things are things that men traditionally throughout history have had a lot more time to participate in and do. And how those things are kind of held in such high regard and such important, as such important parts of history. And I mean, don't get me wrong, they are, but I think that there's a lot of stuff that women have contributed to those things, that this labor that often gets unnoticed and unappreciated in like a broader context. So always working to shift that, and always working to think about how, you know, well, if there's thousands and thousands of soldiers that went to these wars, I know I'm speaking in very broad terms, but stay with me. I promise there's a point. You know, who gave birth to all those soldiers, and who feeds them when they come home? And the same with politicians, and the same with so many other things. And obviously we've come a long way from that at this point. But, you know, there's always this the labor of women and the labor of mothers, and the work and emotional support that they give us is so huge. And it's important to always remember that, and to always think about how and why it's been erased and not held to the same regard as some other things in our societies. All right. To celebrate Mother's Day and to continue to think about these things, I have recorded a bunch of different people in my life talking about their mothers. Some of them told stories. Some of them just said a short little comment on something that inspires them about their mom. It really varies. And on today's show, I'm going to play those for you because I think that they're really special, and they're, as somebody mentions in theirs, I'm just going to borrow from them. There's a bond between that often exists between children and their mothers that it's really hard to explain, but also hard to break. So yeah, we're going to start things off with a recording from Madeline Taylor, who is the programming director here at CITR. You are listening to Femme Concept on CITR.
So Eleanor asked me to talk about my mom. She wanted me to tell a story about why my mom is inspiring. Okay, so I'll just introduce myself. My name is Madeline Taylor. I am 27 years old. I'm the program manager at CITR. I also have a radio show, and I do some freelance radio production. What else do you need to know about me? I'm queer. I live in Vancouver. I like to ride my bike. I like going to shows. So my mom's name is Sherry Jo Sadler. She was born in Seattle, Washington in 1959. She is 57 years old. She's turning 58 years old this year, June 4th. She works in theater and publicity communications in Vancouver and has for a really long time. She has tons of friends and knows everybody. And it's hard to pinpoint one story about what I find inspiring about her, but I think it's safe to say that pretty much everything that I like and would use to define myself and have pursued in my whole life is because of her, which might sound a little bit cliche, but like when I was a teenager, I used to wear her old t-shirts from high school, and one of them said KUGS, and it was this black t-shirt with pink lettering, and KUGS or Cugs was the radio station at the university she went to in Bellingham, University of Western Washington. And I always thought that was so cool. She used to tell me stories about how she had a half hour long punk show in the middle of the week, and she would be DJing with vinyl, all of these punk songs. And of course, in the early 80s, when punk first started out, like every song was like a minute and a half, 2 minutes long. So you're like flinging records all over the place. And I'm just trying to imagine what it would be like now. But I always thought that was such a cool thing to do. And so that was one of the reasons that I got started in radio and thought radio would be a fun and interesting thing to do, was because she was always telling me these stories about the crazy shit she'd get up to when she worked at Cugs. Another thing she did was a live broadcast of a jazz performance from their student union building, which, like, a live broadcast is complicated now, and we have digital technology, but at the time, they're just, like, wiring cables from the radio station outside, upstairs, over to this student union building. And Western Washington is known for having a really good jazz program, so would have been, like, in-house jazz performers. I don't know. Yeah, just cool stuff that that I wanted to get involved with and really influenced me to get my feet wet in the world of community radio. And here we are. Now I help run a radio station. So thank you, Mom. Another couple things about my mom that are pretty cool, that are inspirational to me. She always let me have messy hair. Like, I was never one of those little girls who looked tidy or organized. I always had these flyaway, sort of like half curly, half wavy, just like bedhead hair, kind of like a little boy. And she always dressed us in really like gender neutral colors, usually wearing like a combination of thrift store clothes and leggings and turtlenecks in like all of our 90s glory. She let us be obsessed, me and my little sister, she let us be obsessed with Barbies and princesses and stuff, but at the same time, there was no mandate to be girly. So as soon as we started to have interests that weren't explicitly girly, it wasn't like a weird thing. So exploring aspects of identity outside of what's typically for girls and typically for boys was never a problem. Like, we spent a lot of time playing outside. We always went hiking a lot as a family. And, like, the music my mom listened to was always more towards, like, classic rock and punk, which piqued my interest really young. Yeah, now I'm just rambling about why I like my mom. But yeah, everything from, like, my music taste to my interest in radio to my exposure to theater and art and travel and fashion and social justice politics. Like, I had gay theater performers babysitting me from the time I was a little kid. And so the idea that anyone would have a problem with someone being gay just made no sense to me from such a young age. We were always exposed to like various cultures and like different kinds of food and art and performance. So there weren't any ideas in our household that like there was a wrong way to live, which is really which has been super freeing. So yeah, some more things to say thanks, Mom, about. Anyways. Happy Mother's Day, Sherry Sadler. The woman is off on a mountain biking trip in Georgia right now because she's a badass. She does this sort of thing every year, a couple years ago, she went to Indiana. 10 years ago, she was biking the Swiss Alps. And yeah, she's only broken her ankle once, knock wood. But anyways, she's a daredevil. And she's in incredible shape. So, go mom.
Hey, this is John of CITR's Cue It Up, Wednesdays 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. is my plug. And yeah, story about my mom. I remember I was in Beijing with my mom when I was about 5. So this is about 2 decades ago. And back then we were very close and we were living, or we weren't living there, but we were on vacation there. And we were staying in a cramped apartment, just basically a bunk bed for the entire family. So I was sharing a bed with her. And she asked me, I think, like, what kind of person did I want to marry in the future? And I had a very, like, you know, I was 5. I didn't really understand what she meant. Like, what is marriage? What does that entail? And she told me, well, you know, you meet a woman, because she had, I guess, heteronormative ideations for her only child, only male child. And, you know, you love her a great deal, and you love her so much that you want to be with her all the time. So that's what it means to get married. And then I was like, well, then of course I want to marry you, Mom, because you're the only woman I love and know and am aware of. And it's kind of a funny anecdote now. And, you know, over the years, it's kind of like me and my mom have grown apart and together, and it's a matter of geography and emotional distance and the barriers in communication. Because my mom, until recently, really, and still has struggles with it, has not been fluent in English, which is the only language I'm fluent in, whereas Cantonese, which she spoke, was my first language, and it's something that, again, due to geographical distance and the time I've spent away from my mom, is something that I hold very little command over. But, you know, it kind of speaks to, you know, they're, and this isn't the case for everyone. Like, everyone's family is distinct and unique, and everyone's relationship with their family is distinct and unique, but there can be a very powerful closeness and connectivity between a mother and a child that is, you know, hard to break despite distance and language. And it's something very emotional and very real. And yeah, I've always looked up to my mom because she's been a fighter in a way that I never had to be. She had a very hard life growing up, and because of that, she sought to ensure that I had a lot of comforts that she did not have, having to work from a very young age on a farm, being away from her own parents. So yeah, that's kind of just kind of a few things that come to mind when I think of mom. And even recently, of course, I mean, my building just got knocked down, and for the last month I've been living in my mom's house. So yeah, still coming through for me after all this time. Thanks. And my mom's name is Yang Ying Ku. And a fun fact, she sings opera, Chinese opera, in a community theater context. So I can thank her for my singing skill as well. Thanks, Mom. Love you.
My name is Christine, and my mom's name is Susan. I guess what I was thinking I wanted to talk about or appreciate her for was that I think that she has inspired in me like a deep nerdiness, a deep, deep nerdiness that only a mother could, really. But we are nerdy about like very different things. My mom's area of obsession is anything that is a mystery and also British. She's like the biggest British mystery nerd. And so every time that I hear about like a new TV show on PBS that is historical and also maybe set in England or acted by English people, like, she's gonna love it, and I know she will. Whereas my nerdiness is very much like probably surrounding music and animals and those two things, but the passion is there and it comes from my mother. So I love that about her, and I think that she should write a book about it, but who knows where it will go.
Okay. My name is Erica. I am one of the previous co-hosts on Femme Concept. Today I'm going to talk about my mom. Her name is Anita Gasparini. Her and I have different names, different last names. But my mom is special and interesting. She is the person that's always checking in with me. Her favorite phrase is, "What is your plan?" And my sister and I like to joke and laugh about the fact that my mom pretty much asks both of us that about, I would say on average, maybe once a week since I turned about 13 years old. I always find this to be rather annoying because I'm kind of the child who has gone against the grain, doesn't want a steady job yet, wants to keep traveling. But I always know that my mom just wants me to be doing the best that I can be doing. So she's always the person that's checking in and seeing that, you know, even if I'm doing things that she disagrees with, she's still there to help me and to encourage me and to kind of keep me in check, because I think sometimes she thinks I'm a little bit too adventurous. So my mom is kind of, I love her to death, and she's so different from me, but the fact that she's so different from me gives me a lot to work with and to kind of learn how to cope and understand with people who are different than you. So although, you know, there are a lot of similarities, but at the same time, she's so different. So she always makes me become a better person in dealing with people that are different than me. She's also really funny, and I'm hilarious, so that's the one thing we have in common for sure. But, yeah, that's my mom. She's the best.
That was the first half of recordings I have of people talking about their mothers. You are tuned in now to Femme Concept on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the University of British Columbia. My name is Eleanor. I hope you enjoyed those. I know I definitely did. I have more, so don't go anywhere. But first, we're going to hear a track from the band Adult Mom from New York. This song is called Tenderness, and it's off of their album that is coming out on May 19th called Soft Spots. Hope you enjoy.
Stripped down. LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Join us on Thursday, May 18 from 12 to 6 p.m. for CITR's third annual Access Day.
You can listen on the air at 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca for 6 hours of programming featuring content about accessibility, self-advocacy, social accessibility, and more.
There will be live performances by musicians from the Vancouver Adaptive Music Society, an interview with Accessible Media Incorporated, and segments on employment, accessibility of arts and culture spaces in Vancouver, and more.
Visit CITR.ca for more information.
Tired of begging for rides from your friends?
Bobby, I don't have time to take you to the soda shop again this week.
Lugging those groceries on the bus got you in a sweat?
Man, oh man, these bags of salt sure are hefty.
Being on campus without a car ain't easy, so check out Zipcar and get wheels when you want them. Join now to get your membership for only $20 at zipcar.ca/UBC.
Thank you for joining me. You are tuned into Femme Concept on CITR 101.9 FM. And today's show is all about moms because it was Mother's Day on Sunday. Before the break there, I played a track by Adult Mom called Tenderness off of their forthcoming album, Soft Spots. And before that, I played a myriad of different recordings from different folks talking about their mothers, and I have some more to play now. And I also want to point out that, you know, there's lots of positive things to say about mothers, but there's also lots of people that have strained relationships with their moms or have lost their mothers, and there can be lots of complicated feelings around motherhood as well, too. So not to leave anybody out or not to leave those people out, and just think it's important to acknowledge that those types of relationships and feelings exist as well. So we're going to continue to hear some recordings from folks, and then towards the end of the show I'll talk about my mom, of course. Thanks for joining us. Up next we've got this recording doesn't have an introduction, but it's by Britt Bachman, who is the editor-in-chief of Discorder magazine.
My mom. She taught me so much independence. She was the first feminist in my life. Obviously, I came out of her. I come from a very matriarchal family. There's a lot of women. The women call the shots. I grew up not really realizing that society was actually patriarchal, that I would suffer these instances of oppression because of being a woman. In a way, my mother really sheltered me from that, but then also prepared me for it by making me strong. She would run over scenarios, especially if we had a long car ride, of being like, so you're walking down an alley and somebody tries to attack you. What do you do? In a lot of those scenarios, I would be wearing high heels because actually high heels make the best weapon. I went through a lot of self-defense courses. A lot of the extracurricular activities I did were alone. Like, I just kind of more solitary things, not a lot of group sports or anything. I'm also an only child as a, I was a summer fling. My parents are not together. And so my mom raised me independently for the most part. I've been at parties where she said that we were really close when she was raising me. And I wouldn't say that. I've never thought that. I've never thought that we were really close because I never really told her much about my life, ever. Not that I had, like, amazing things going on. It was all pretty boring. I'd say, like, I had a pretty, like, boring scholastic life. But I guess I didn't really think that we were that close. The closest friend I had growing up felt like my cat. And now kind of we're a lot closer now that I've moved out of the house. I mean, I've been away for a decade now, so I've had a lot of time. And I think the distance has been really good for our relationship. If there's one thing that I really sort of resent her for, and it's not really fair, but I do, is not really teaching me how to have relationships and or friendships. Like, she had several boyfriends, like long-term boyfriends, as I was growing up, and sometimes they'd live in the house and sometimes they wouldn't. But I don't really think they were healthy relationships, and in retrospect, I really don't think that. I was really conflicted between her always telling me, you know, like, trust your intuition, trust your gut about situations, and I remember one partner of hers in particular was just a total jerk, and I knew it, and he was just disgusting and slimy, and she was with him for, like, 3 years, and that's 3 years of him being rude to me behind her back, and, like, her not believing me, and, it really, I think those instances, it really, like, pinned me up against the idea of having a partner, because I saw having a boyfriend in your life as being this thing that is going to, like, screw you over in some way. Like, I didn't really have a model for what an actual long-term romantic relationship looks like, and I find myself really now it's hard to connect to people. And not even just romantically, but even just with friends too. Like, I don't have, like, tons of friends, and I don't really know how to, like, keep them that well, you know. I prioritize work over everything else, and I always told myself I would never do that, but I do that now, and that was something that she's always done, always. She's always prioritized work. We'd be having, like, a really important talk or something. I'd be crying, sharing my feelings, and the phone would ring, and it would all be paused so that she could pick up and talk on the phone. And the phone is very tied to her work. And that was really difficult for me. Yeah, I never wanted to be like that, but I find myself like that. And now I realize, as I'm growing older, as I'm becoming more of a workaholic and unintentionally alienating the friends that I do have through social anxiety or whatever it is, that the work is a little bit of a coping mechanism too. I mean, the more you, like, dive into the work, the less you have to deal with people. And my mom taught me that. I do love my mother so much. We talk every couple days, and there are a million things that I'm so thankful for her about, you know. But, like, there are definite quirks, I guess, and ways of dealing with the world that I picked up that I wish that I hadn't. And so just a matter of kind of, like, filtering through those.
My name is Jerry, and what inspires me about my mom, has always inspired me about my mom, is her drive to always do her best, regardless of the situation. I remember as a kid, she was putting up tile in the basement bathroom, and where we lived in Burnaby, and you know, I thought the stuff was hideous, but what did I know as a kid? So anyway, it's very difficult to do all these fiddly little bits and pieces to put up. And then Mom was working away on this during the day for days on end. And I asked her, like, why are you doing this? It's just the bathroom, Mom. And she said, well, you know, because no matter what you're doing, Jerry, do your best. And I've always learned that. And she went on back to working, and I've always remembered that. Because as it turned out, the bathroom... basement bathroom turned out just fine, and I've always remembered that was kind of a good lesson for my mom.
Okay, hi. So my name is Megan. My mom's name is Janet. It's actually spelled Jeanette, because she's French-Canadian, but growing up, everyone called her the wrong pronunciation, so now she actually just goes by Janet, which I think is funny. Anyways, yeah, my mom is really awesome. The older I've gotten, the more I've realized just, like, how incredibly, like, privileged I've been and how grateful I am for how much she has given to me, you know, in all the ways, emotionally and, you know, financially, like, just so supportive. And yeah, I guess there are a lot of things I've gotten from my mom that I can see in myself now. Like, we both have a really big sweet tooth. I'm always late to things because my mom was always late. Like, growing up, we would be leaving the house, like, 3 minutes before, 5 minutes before we were supposed to get somewhere, and she'd be like, it's fine, just get in the car. So now that has definitely kind of been passed on to me. So I'm sorry to everyone for that. And yeah, her empathy for, you know, the work that she does, that definitely has been passed on to me. And I'm really grateful to her for that. And one thing that she always says to me, like, whenever we've had any type of, like, challenging or kind of emotionally intense conversation, she always ends it by being like, Megan, like, I'm your biggest fan, I'm always rooting for you. And, like, that is so, I don't know, it just feels like that's always been such a poignant thing for me, is hearing her say that. Yeah, it just feels like everything, yeah, it makes everything so much better. So yeah, that's my mom.
My name is Douglas Ennenberg, and my mom's name is Jane Slemon. I wrote this for her. Mohun Lake, full of sun, paddle through trees and sky, listen to the birds in the branches, inhale the freshwater breeze, singing folk songs as a family. The days were long. Soft light of evening, finding our plot by the water, setting up camp. Family functions in the sound of the lake in the forest and swat of bandanas. Mosquitoes love the evening. Everyone loves dinner. One time, on a portage, I was thinking, there's just so much time and space. This lake water, which we had been paddling through and purifying to drink, was the water we would collect in a bottle to bring home and present at the water ceremony at church that September. Sometimes we forgot to collect any water, and this year I wanted to remember. Plus, I thought, we could make the water ceremony cool by offering a little extra. We should totally pick one beautiful water lily to put in the Nalgene bottle, so when we poured out our water in the bowl and told our tale, giving our part to the congregation of stories, places, and ideas that came from every congregant, and the water they offered, and the story they told, then a little yellow flower would bob and sway in the bowl, and with every new story it would rise a little bit. So I picked one. I showed it to my dad. He said to put it back. We wouldn't take any flowers or anything from this place. This is a Boy Scouts thing. Enjoy the land responsibly, which means a strict enforcement of blah, blah, blah. I didn't care. I wanted a flower. It's just a flower. I'm going to take it. Don't worry about it. This is my decision. I'll suffer the personal consequences. My dad doesn't get mad all that often with the family, and maybe the natural environment made it seem more natural, or maybe being around each other that much, you just know how everyone really feels. And patience does wear thin, which I guess is why I don't remember it so well. He didn't yell or anything. He just got mad, and I got defensive, and I was still shorter than him. I was pretty young. And in the middle of the portage, I got so frustrated and emotional and gave him the flower to toss in the next lake or whatever. And I just sat down with the stuff I was carrying and was sick of carrying at that point and had a dirty, angry little cry. Mom was there. I guess she kind of overheard the Lily conversation and waited just a little way up the trail while me and Dad fought. I don't know if she spoke to Dad as he continued up the trail, but she gave me a little time before coming to stand in front of me. I was 11 or so. She put her bags and paddles down by a log and stood in front of me. Then with a silly, smug furrow in her brow, she sang me this song. Asshole, asshole, as soldier I shall be, to piss, to piss, two pistols on my knee. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck curiosity. Fight for the old cunt, fight for the old cunt, fight for the old country. That's real, it actually happened. And I was a little stunned, I guess, and as she hefted on her backpack and huffed away back onto the trail, I was already repeating the melody in my head and trying to go back and remember all the words. She had only sung it once, didn't say anything else, and for the first couple lines, I didn't know exactly what was going on, so I didn't think to try to memorize it as it happened. I had to ask her later for the correct lyrics, but even in the minute or two it took me to gather myself together and pull my backpack and me back onto the trail and towards the next lake, I was already grinning, straining for the precise memory, and puzzling over my magical mother.
In a dressmaker shop in Greece, the pins stick like tongues on poles or buds in an ashtray. Lunchtime packages waxed and wrapped and held. Down a dusty road inside an apron fold.
It's cool.
It's Cool to Love Your Family by Feist off of her album Monarch, Layered Jeweled Head Down. You are tuned into Femme Concept on CITR 101.9 FM, and we've reached the last 10 minutes of our show. I hope that you enjoyed listening to all of those different recordings of people telling stories and talking about their mothers, and it helped you to reflect on your own relationship with your mother, whatever that may be, and to just appreciate all the work and energies and efforts and labor of all of the mothers in the world. There's so many different kinds of mothers and so many different kinds of mothering that exist, and it's nice to take... It's nice that we have a day to appreciate it, but like all days that celebrate things, it's an even better reminder to appreciate it all year round, I think. So to end things off, I'm going to talk a little bit about my mom, of course. Number one fan of my radio show, hands down. There's not even a competition she would win. She has been on my show before. Maybe some of you have heard that episode. Yeah, my mom's name is Emily Fraser. She does not have the same last name as me, which is something that I didn't understand when I was younger. I didn't understand why she wouldn't have taken my father's last name, but it's now something, as I've learned more about feminism and a lot of different things, I have come to respect and appreciate. And there's so many things that I could talk about with regards to my mother and the things that I love about her, but I think one of the best things that she has given to me is just like this kind of passion and excitement about life, and just sometimes that has the tendency to make me take things too seriously or get too wrapped up in things and get really kind of emotionally destroyed by them. And I think this comes from her because I've seen her do this too, but most of the time, it's a really beautiful, great thing because I think she has a really great ability to like find humor in simple situations and find beauty and joy and happiness even in like small little things. And if you can't do that with life, then you've got a lot of long, sad days ahead of you, I think. So I really just appreciate that. Fire for things that she's given me and that she's inspired in me to, you know, really throw myself into things and give them all I've got, even if sometimes that leads to exhaustion. But you know what? I would way rather be excited about things and kind of just get really into them and get super and feel super passionately about them than have the opposite. So I'm really grateful that she has shown me how to do that through being that way herself. She's also just so silly and ridiculous, and sometimes it drives me crazy, but mostly I love it because I see it reflected in myself and the way that I find so many simple things and little things to be very amusing. It makes life more fun and more interesting. So thanks for being the best, Mom, and to all the other mothers that I've had who have raised me as well, and will continue to do so. And thank you to everybody who shared their stories with me for the show today. I really appreciate that. I hope it's given everybody something to think about. Cool. Okay. I think that's pretty much it. For me, I've got a couple more tracks to end things off with, and then we have a brand new show, Korean Independent Music, coming up next, so please do not go anywhere. I will be back next week with more FemCon, more appreciation of women making music. Until then, I'm going to play a track by OK Vancouver OK, a local band. This is a track from Food, Shelter, Water, which came out back in 2013, and it's called I Want Children to Swim in a River They Can Drink From. And a small side note about this band, the only times I've ever seen them play, they've had their son Henry with them, and I watched the drummer, the mother of Henry, her name is Laura, play the drums standing up with Henry, like, in a harness on her back. And if that, like, just think about that for a second. It's, like, one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen. It's so great. And then she tried to put him down later. He's, like, old enough to walk around and, you know, make him go stand in the audience and wait for them to finish. And he was having none of it. Like, was just like, I do not care that you're playing this show for all these people right now. I need to be attached to you. Like, that is the number one priority. It was a great concert. It was great. Really love this band. So this is I Want Children to Swim in a River They Can Drink From. Thanks for tuning in. I will catch you next time.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
With all that rainfall, my perennials are thriving. Let's take a look at what's popped up in the beds. My lovely Discordias are abloom.
Pluck a May Discordia and read about DIY Space Deep Blue, Ahmad Dani Ramadan, discussions on the accessibility of the Vancouver music scene by Eleanor Waring, as well as the programmers championing issues around accessibility for Accessibility Day on CITR. Thanks to our advertisers, Live Band, the Rickshaw Theatre, Timber Concerts, the Rio Theatre, the Wise Hall, Slut Island, Pemberton Music Festival, and the Underground Newsstand.
Ah, Discordia bouquets have the sweetest perfume.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts in Kitsilano and around UBC at The Book Warehouse, Stormcrow Ale House,